It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are you today, Bill?
Yeah, very well indeed. Thank you, Howard. I hope you are too.
Yes, very well indeed. It's slightly cooler here, so we're glad about that. What has caught your attention since we last spoke, Bill?
I think newsworthy, there are a couple of very key issues that have been reported extensively in the last few days that will have, one way or the other, an impact upon our expatriate listeners. The European Union is, it is said, refusing to discuss British proposals on the fisheries treaty, and indeed at the same time, state subsidy agreements are also under the microscope. There are more talks going on, but frankly, it's not good news that this impasse seems to be an insurmountable obstacle. Michel Barnier insisting on what he calls parallelism, which will mean a level of equivalence, and Mr. Frost suggesting that we would still be linked to the EU by the back door if we were to accept Michel Barnier's proposal. So looking more like a no deal at the moment, but you know, the EU and the UK both have great reputations for fudge, so we shall have to wait and see. I suspect the one thing that will impact on our listeners extensively, despite the fact that they're now living in a different country, is that Rishi Sunak, the UK Chancellor, is reported to be considering fairly extensive increases in taxation, increasing capital gains tax to tie it up with income tax, it's reported, cutting the tax relief on pensions, and perhaps not reported quite so much, but quite important to our listeners is the triple lock on state pensions, which guarantees a minimum increase of 2.5% or inflation, whichever is the higher. There are several billions of savings to be made if he cuts that one out. But the one that I think will perhaps mean our listeners should be taking close attention and perhaps advice at this time is that it's likely, I think, that inheritance tax, even though you are residing outside the UK, many, many people who are expatriates remain domiciles of the UK, therefore liable to UK inheritance tax, and an increase in that would be a big shock to many. So those are the things I think that have caught my eye most in the last couple of days.
But also, Bill, economic data released in August confirmed that the UK was in recession for the first time in 11 years. But is this something investors need to worry about?
I don't think undue concern at this stage. I mean, a recession is a state of affairs that doesn't, as you've just mentioned, happen terribly often in the modern idiom. We had a deep recession after the economic crisis of 2008-2009. And we are now entering, as I say, another period when you can't put trillions of funding into the international economies in support of the crisis caused by the pandemic and not have a consequence thereafter. For every action, of course, there is a reaction, and the reaction to the financial stimulus that has taken place and the closures of industry, commerce and services, there is a price to pay, and I'm afraid that is called a recession.
And this one, Bill, is it any surprise after the coronavirus lockdown? Do you think that triggered it?
Yes, there's no question that this is what triggered it. You know, when you shut down economies by all of the services and producing entities closing down, when your people remain off work, and of course, importantly, the financial support coming from central governments around the world, America, Europe, the UK. I read again just 2 days ago, 100 billion of support going into the French economy. The UK is not terribly far short of that. And those expenses have to be repaid. And that is where the recession starts to kick off.
Yeah. And of course, it's designed by a reduction over two quarters, I think we're right in saying, yes?
Yes. I mean, this at the moment is unquestionably the worst recession on record. Official numbers show, and economists have been warning for some time that we're heading for a global recession after the coronavirus caused shops and factories to close and household spending to plunge, at least apart from online spending, which seems to have increased. And here we are, as you say, with our first recession in 11 years. You're right, Howard. A country is said to be in recession if its gross domestic product, its income, if you like, which in the UK is the value of all the goods and services added up in pounds sterling, if that has fallen over two consecutive quarters, then you are technically in recession. The current decline at the end of the second quarter of 20.4% plunge in GDP to the end of June followed a small 2.2% drop in the first 3 months, but that means we've had two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. So we've met the definition of recession. One, if you like, triggered by the pandemic and the lockdown, and the Office for National Statistics in the UK has highlighted some dramatic falls in services, production, construction, which were heavily exposed to a lot of government restrictions. And as you say, it's been 11 years since we experienced one. I don't think, as we mentioned a moment ago, however, given these rather dramatic numbers, and perhaps we can cover this in a moment or two, I don't think that there is any need for undue concern. There are some signs that the impact of this recession may be rather less tenacious than it has been perhaps in the past.
How does the UK compare to countries like France and Spain and the United States?
Well, we've done somewhat better than Spain, but we've done somewhat worse than France, Italy, Germany, and in particular, our current fall in GDP is over double that of the fall in the GDP of the United States. The United States often has a much more dynamic, investor-minded economy, and indeed their GDP has only fallen by around half of that of the UK. So the UK hasn't done particularly well in terms of the decline in GDP, but then we also have a reputation in the UK for recovery in a fairly short span of time.
Is it all bad news?
Oh, no, I don't think it is. I mean, frankly, it's quite remarkable, the contraindications. We seem to be in a recession, and yet August, for example, was, in the United States equity markets, the best performing August for 34 years. And so there is still optimism out there in the markets, whereas at the moment the economy is actually in recession. So I don't think it is all bad news, and it's about selectivity and taking a cautious approach to the way forward over the short term, to make sure that whatever happens in terms of investment prices, you buy in at value, you remain on target with your original longer term intentions, and therefore benefit from the uptick when it comes. Remember what happened after 2008, 2009, markets everywhere pretty much doubled and in some cases quadrupled over a 10-year period. That is almost certainly going to be a positive period once we get past the early year or two of recovery from recession.
Well, Bill, the word recession can strike fear in some investors, but do you think they need to worry at the moment?
I think cautious concern is important. I don't think worry is important or relevant, frankly. If you have established your portfolio with all of the wisdom of the sort of advice that Blevins Franks give regarding diversification, asset allocation, and you have established your longer term objectives, then really it's a question of sticking to your guns and not panicking. There is no point in panic. There are signs already that things are beginning to improve. The Office for National Statistics, again, has said the economy in the UK bounced back in June as the government restrictions on movement started to ease. It's a question of how fast that growth in the domestic product improves. On a month-to-month basis, the economy actually grew by just under 9% in June after a modest amount of growth in May. So, you know, despite the gross domestic product in June, it still remains about one-sixth below its level in February before the virus struck. So the recession is out there. But as I say, I think every time a door closes, Howard, in the investment and tax planning world, another door comes ajar. And there will be opportunities for those people who are considering investment at this time. And there will be testing times for many people who are already invested because there is bound to be market volatility. But that's par for the course. Those people in 2008, when that was a desperately deep recession, those people who remained stuck on the course they had set came out within 18 months on top of where they had been previously and making profits over the next 10 years, generally speaking.
What steps can investors take to reduce future risk in their portfolio?
Yeah, I think the first is to make sure if you've set your objectives out carefully at outset, and we now enter this period of volatility, that you don't panic. Corporal Jones used to say to Captain Mannering, it doesn't do any good to panic. A knee-jerk reaction of a recession might be to sell off your investments, but it also might be one of the more foolish things to do, because if you don't have your funds invested, you may miss the time at which the markets pick up very quickly, as they often do, rising in some cases, you know, by 10% in a very short period of time. If you miss out that initial bounce, you miss out on the value of remaining invested. The clients of Blevins Franks will, of course, be diversified in order to spread their risk. It's important that if you are considering investment, that you keep the costs of your investment portfolio low. It's important to, as well, to be patient during a recession, because the volatility of markets, I think, will test patience. We have seen significant improvements from the beginning, from around the middle of March, actually. From the middle of March until now, we've seen the UK stock market increase substantially by something around 25%. We've also seen the American stock market reach record highs, despite the fact that there is a recession. And so, you know, it isn't all bad news. You've simply got to take the recession on the chin, stick with your existing investments if they match your long-term objectives, and you will come out of this on top, I'm sure.
For those with capital to invest, what advice do you have to help them choose new investments wisely?
Yes, I think that's where Blevins Franks have an edge, if you like, because whilst we don't manage money directly, we have the a relationship with the Russell Group, who do research and deeply interrogate the world's best fund managers. And then when they have established by an objective formula who these fund managers should be, they recommend them to Blevins Franks for use by their clients. And the simple fact is that they are out there at the moment looking for real value. Investments during a recession, overall the markets decline, but within the markets, whether it's the US, whether it's the UK, or whether it's Europe, there will be gems to be selected by investment managers who can help to lift up the portfolio once the markets start to rise by buying into good value stocks that show potential once the recession is over.
What about pound cost averaging? What is this? And this is something those waiting for a good time to invest could consider.
It's a very unusual term, isn't it? I mean, the industry develops these terms just to confuse laymen. But it's really about drip feeding new money into investments during a period when the markets are at a lower level. It's very difficult to time the market. We've said many times, Howard, it's time that makes money and not timing. But trying to buy or sell investments at just the right moment in anticipation of prices going up, or in a bear market characteristic, you know, which is generally characterized by investor fears, it's a very difficult thing to do. So timing the time at which you make your investments can be precarious in any type of market. Now, at a time when we know we're in recession, and at a time when we know there's likely to be market volatility for a whole raft of different reasons, as an investor, you are probably better off establishing a regular drip feeding of your money into investments, so that you spread your overall investment over a period of 3, 4, 5, or even 6 months, so that you buy into the market at different points in time. Therefore, it's called cost averaging. You're buying it at a cost, but it's average. The average price is established over, say, a 5 or 6 month period. And that tends to, generally speaking, in most cases, provide you with overall better purchasing prices than you would get if you simply took the risk of buying all at one time. You might go in at a price of 10 and think that that's a good deal. But it may be that over the next 5 or 6 months, the prices go from 10 to 8 to 11 to 6 to 4 and then back to 10 again. And if you purchased at each of those intervals, your average purchase price would be less than the 10 you paid in the first place, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Do you have any other encouragement for investors today?
Yeah, I do. I think the fact that there are going to be bargains out there, and I think it's also true that given the current circumstances of the US market, despite the fact there's a forthcoming election in November, which is sure to give additional volatility to the markets, who knows what that result will be. I think that the tax changes in the UK will also bring about volatility in the markets, and there will be bargains out there. And the fund managers that Levins Franks have been recommended to use for their clients' purposes will be out there looking for those bargains. I think there is going to be a lot of opportunity here for new investment money. And I think that there will be a testing time for people already invested who can watch that volatility close up, but make sure that if your objectives remain the same now as they were when you set the portfolio up, that you stick to your guns and stay the course, because fortune favours the brave in these circumstances. And I suspect there will be some volatility over the next few months that will test your patience, but it's patience that rewards you in the end.
Well, thank you as always, Bill. Now, listeners can get in touch with you by the website.
Yeah, I think this is a good time if you're uncertain about the current circumstances to review your portfolio, talk to your Levins Franks advisor. If you're considering investment at this time, then there, as I say, will be opportunities here. Had you, for example, decided to invest back in the middle of March, you would already be showing a very handsome, substantial profit in your investments, generally speaking. So I think if you get hold of the website at www.levinsfranks.com and look for your local office address, make contact, give the local office a ring, speak to the partners, the advisors there, and I'm sure that you'll find that they'll be able to give you some encouragement over these times, whether you're an existing client or whether you're simply considering investing at this time, because there will be, as I say, prices lower, bargains to be had.
Thank you very much, Bill. We'll talk again at the same time here in Spain next week.